Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
The search came up empty.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The Federal Trade Commission tried to find something wrong with the Google DoubleClick deal. The FTC spent the last 8 months looking into whether Google buying DoubleClick would give the search engine too much control of online advertising. I guess they didn't find anything. This morning, the FTC approved the $3 billion deal. But European regulators still seem pretty skeptical so far. Recession? What recession? Today, the government gave us the final GDP numbers for the third quarter. The economy grew at a rate of 4.9%. That's pretty darn impressive, considering what's been going on. The fastest pace in 4 years. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
Economist Jack Albertine is an optimist, but today's numbers surprised even him. Now he's even more optimistic. Keep your party hats on, he says. Consumers are going to continue powering the economy along.
People are employed. They're working overtime. Bonuses have been pretty good this Christmas season.
But other economists say the Grinch is just around the corner. Bernard Baumol is managing director of the Economic Outlook Group.
The housing recession has gotten worse. Home prices have plummeted. We've seen a continuation of the weakening in the job growth numbers.
Plus, the so-called core rate of inflation was up 2% in the third quarter, much higher than the 1.4% pace of the second quarter. If the Fed keeps lowering interest rates, cheaper money could fuel inflation as people spend more, chasing up prices. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Yesterday, Morgan Stanley reported its first loss in 73 years. Today, Bear Stearns topped that, first loss in 84 years. But the software company Oracle had a heck of a quarter. Sales were up 38%. So that is giving the NASDAQ a boost. It's up almost 1% so far, 21 points. The Dow has gained 56, that's about 0.5%. The S&P 500 is up 5, about 0.5%. The Asian markets were mixed today. European shares are up more than 1% so far. Hotel prices in U.S. cities really went up this year. Business travelers took a lot of trips, and foreign tourists came over to make the most of the weak dollar. But now that it's the holidays, both those groups are going home. So might be a good time for you to book your vacation. Jill Barshay explains.
The last thing executives want to do during the winter holidays is go on another business trip. Vivian Duchel is a vice president of Ritz-Carlton Hotels.
About the middle of December, you see a tremendous drop-off. Normally, you could shoot a cannon through the lobby of most hotels in January.
Duchel says the Ritz is slashing prices in its business hotels, even in cities like New York, which attract holiday vacationers, too. Shop around, and you can get more than 50% off a room.
Right now is probably the most significant time when demand is down and the inventory is large, and a savvy traveler can negotiate really excellent experience. They can stay at a Ritz-Carlton. They can upgrade their experience where they might have stayed in a moderate-priced hotel.
Don't expect rock-bottom prices for luxury. Central Park's Essex Hotel is almost half off, but it's still $400 a night. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay from Marketplace.
A lot of people think CEOs are overpaid. Even CEOs. A new poll from BNet.com finds that 64% of top executives believe compensation is excessive. To my knowledge, the poll didn't ask whether the CEOs would take a pay cut. This is the Morning Report for Thursday, December 20th on Marketplace.org. Now for an update from Washington. Some campaign watchdog groups are protesting new rules from Congress on party throwing. This has to do with bashes at the National Political Convention. Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
New ethics rules say a member of Congress, quote, may not participate in an event honoring that member. The House Ethics Committee interpreting the rules said, aha, what about parties that honor a whole congressional delegation? The rules say no parties for one, but don't mention a party for two or more. Public Citizen watchdog Craig Holman.
They're the type of parties that really tend to make most Americans sick to their stomach when they see this going on. Calling them soirees is very appropriate.
Democracy 21 President Fred Wertheimer says the lobbyists will have to report the cost of these soirees, making lawmakers uncomfortable.
And I don't think they can explain to their constituents how lobbyists paid for these parties at the national convention.
The watchdogs might sue to stop the lavish bashes. The Ethics Committee had no comment. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Are politicians addressing your concerns? Tell us about it. Log on to our website, marketplace.org, and click on Election 2008. Thanks to the weak dollar, a lot of foreign tourists are coming to the U.S. to shop, especially New York City, especially the Irish. Don Duncan reports.
It's Friday afternoon, and sisters Gronja Charges and Sinead Butler are back at Macy's after making a killing the day before. Here's Gronja.
I've bought lots of clothes, shoes. I bought a ring yesterday in Macy's, $900, which is extremely cheap.
These deals are cheap not only because of the favourable exchange rate. The Irish also have more money in their pockets. Ireland enjoys the fastest growing economy of any country in the Eurozone, and that's bringing hundreds of thousands of Irish to New York for just one thing.
Shop, 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 shop.
That's Caroline Moylan from Galway, Ireland. According to US government figures, more than half of Irish people who fly to New York each year do so in the 3 months running up to Christmas. Mary McKenna manages Irish travel company Tour America.
First of all, it's easier to get there now. We've more airlines. The travel cost has really come down.
Irish tourism to New York is among the fastest growing of all nationalities, clocking a 12% increase over last year.
We're going to get almost 300,000 visitors from Ireland this year.
That's George Fertitta, CEO of NYC & Company, New York's tourism promotion organization.
They literally spend more money per capita than any other single group. Where the average spender spends about $235 a day, the Irish traveler spends almost $390 a day.
Irish Consul General Niall Burgess says the shopping is creating havoc for some New York hotels.
There's a well-known Irish hotel on Lexington Avenue that has had to deal with a growing waste problem, created largely by Irish shoppers who leave empty packing cases and boxes in their bedrooms when they check out.
Back at Macy's, Regina Cooney from County Cork says she's not going to leave any trash behind. But she still has a few things to pick up.
I've three kids, so there's lots of requests.
With her shopping budget at €3,400, Regina gets $5,000 for those requests.
I'm not good at sums, but I mean, I can figure out that that's a good saving.
In New York, I'm Don Duncan for Marketplace.
There's no law that says a Christmas tree has to be a fir tree, or a spruce, or a pine. That tradition comes from 16th century Germany. Modern-day San Francisco is not 16th century Germany. Rachel Dornhelm has our story.
At a row house in the hills of San Francisco, a volunteer lugs a potted tree up Michelle Waite's front steps. This is no triangle-shaped fir. In fact, it's not a fir at all. It's a small-leaf tristania. It looks like an olive tree, but 8 feet tall and skinny. This tree drop is part of a program by the San Francisco Department of the Environment and the nonprofit Friends of the Urban Forest. You give them $90, they bring you a living tree. After the holidays, they'll pick it up and plant it on a sidewalk somewhere in the city. Waite says she was sold almost as soon as she heard about the program.
I asked my kids first if they would be okay with that, and they loved the whole idea of that it was going to be replanted. And I also, my mom is coming, and she's a big Christmas person, so I had to check with her, too.
Waite says her family did have one big question before signing up. Can you put a star on top?
Yeah, the trees are strong enough to hold just about any kind of ornament that you have to hang on them, unless it's a 2x4 or something like that.
That's Kelly Quirk, director of Friends of the Urban Forest. He says the $90 covers the price of the tree and planting it in neighborhoods that don't have much greenery.
There seems to be a real demand for people to have living Christmas trees. They don't like the idea of chopping down and killing a tree for the holidays. And then, of course, after the holidays, we find all these tree carcasses all over the sidewalks of San Francisco waiting for the garbage truck to come by and pick them up. And, you know, people don't like that either.
Even in San Francisco, street trees aren't many people's idea of a Christmas tree. The program accounts for just 100 of the 38 million Christmas trees sold in the U.S. Still, the 3-year-old San Francisco program has doubled in size since last year, and orders are still coming in. This year, Friends of the Urban Forest even has a Christmas tree lot so that customers can select their own. Quirk says his organization doesn't plan to set up shop in any other city, but hopes the idea will spread on its own. Then perhaps more people will get the chance to enjoy a very green Christmas. In San Francisco, I'm Rachel Dornhill for Marketplace.
If you'd like to see what the decorated trees look like, we have a link on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.